once Mona Abul Hassan Ali Nadvi Rahmatullahi had come to Saharanpur, like how we have it now. Different ulama-i kiram come to the Khanqah, spend 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, and then they leave. So this used to happen then as well. The different ulama-i kiram that were alive at that time, they would spend some time with the Shaykh Muhammad Ali. The likes of Mawlana Ali Mia Sahib, Mawlana Manzoor Momani Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. Then the elders of Nizamuddin, Hazrat Jimaa Inamul Hasan Sahib, Mawlana Ubaidullah Sahib, Mawlana Umar Palampuri, Mawlana Ahmad Lahat, all of them spent some time. Like we saw now, Ibrahim Devlas also spent time here in the Khanqah. So, the Khanqah has got a certain effect. And every work has a unique effort. And that effect is going to be felt and experienced in that place. So our work is that when that effect is going to be experienced in that place, then we go and acquire it from that place. We don't need to ask the nitty-gritties, why is this only obtainable, available here? That's not our business. It doesn't concern us. It's a system of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala planned it in that way. He planned it in that way, so it's going to be like that. So, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali would offer different ulama-i kiram to give bayans. Like if Umar Palampuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was around, then he would get a turn to speak. Then if Mawlana Ubaidullah Balyawi Sahib Rahmatullah used to be around, then he would also get a turn to speak. The different ulama-i kiram would get a chance. And I suppose the wisdom in all that would be that all these ulama-i kiram were in different departments. Someone is in tasneef, writing kitabs, etc. Someone is in a madrasa. Someone is in jamaat work. So all are getting a chance to give a talk. So the public, they affiliate themselves to these people as well. They link themselves that if the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali is recognizing them, then we should also be recognizing them. So it's a way to create some understanding amongst the Muslims in large. In general, or the general public begins to see these personalities, and when they see these personalities, that they identify with them. So these are our elders, they've been appointed, and they have been given a chance to talk, so we need to identify, we need to relate to them. So on one such occasion, Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali had asked as Mawlana Ali Mia Sahib Rahmatullah Ali to give a talk. Now, Mawlana Ali Mia Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was a very great thinker, Mufakkir-e-Islam. They call him also Mufakkir-e-Islam. If we recognize him, even the Arabs would also recognize him through his kitabs, bayans. He was the vice-chancellor of the Medina Munawwara University, although he was offered the position of being the head of the university, but he declined. And then they told him, all right, come as a member of Shura or something. But that capacity I can come in, but not. And that also was as per the advice of his mother. When he was offered to become the head, and they were insisting on him, so he went and consulted his mother that this is what's happening. His mother said that if you accept the position, obviously it's going to be a position of respect and recognition. But I did not educate you for this type of recognition. I didn't educate you that you become popular like this. Not for that. I educated you for something else. Now you see these people and their parents of a different thinking, the level of sincerity. If it were one of us, we would say, no, definitely accept it, because you didn't ask for it and it came, so it's God given, you must just accept it. Now, their mothers were very Allah wala, very, very sincere, very clean in their hearts. So their advice would be different. She must have felt afraid, okay, if he's going to be offered this position, this position of recognition, then it's not a very old person, a young person, and he's offered this position. He can be a victim of jealousy sometimes. And sometimes it can be that he can be consumed with pride. So different obstacles can come in his way. The better he does the work, but without a name. Becomes, do the shura, whatever consultation, mashwara, he can join up in that. He doesn't need to have a name. So there is afiyat, there is a lot of safety and protection in going by the mashwara of your elders. Although sometimes we can't see it. There may be no recognition, there may be no name, but it is the advice, it is the suggestion of your elders. When it is the advice and the suggestion of your elders, they've seen what you didn't see. They know what you didn't know, don't know. They've experienced what you still have to experience. So the safe thing is just go with what they have to say. Our knowledge is not mature. Our experience is not sound. Our understanding is not profound. Right? Then if we are going to make a decision for ourselves, obviously it's going to be a mistake. So the simple thing is that person who's seen life, he understood life, he's seen the ups and the downs, let him take the decision, inshallah, there should be some good in that. So nonetheless, Mawlana Ali Mir Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was asked on one day, you give the talk. So he got up after Isha as the usual time to give the talk. So he says that the Shaykh Ahmad had requested me to give the talk today. Now look at Ali Mir Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. He had ta'alluq first with Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, right? Taken bayat, etc. And he had already got ijazat, everything. But he still felt the need to have some guide. Although he worked with Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, spent about a year or 2 years in the Arab countries, in Jamaat, etc., everything. But then he didn't confine his mind, he didn't restrict his mind. Mind was open. That I did this, but the Khanqa thing is something else to this. Like you'll see some of his letters to Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and him doing work in the early days. Now, he didn't think to himself that Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah had liked me and he had shown me a lot of liking and a lot of respect. So now I don't need this thing here. So he went out in Jamaat, but then he saw the need to get his own Islah done as well, both Jamaat and this. Now this is complete, this is comprehensive, this is mature thinking. Like I said, this Jamaat will have something else to offer and the Khanqa will have something else to offer, and we need our eyes and our hearts to be open to accept both. They got something, let's accept that. They got something and let's accept that. Our problem is this, that we want to restrict the good to what we think. What we think is right, now all the good is just restricted in that. Now that is not fair. Like we're running a madrasa, right? So we think to ourselves that all the good is just restricted to the madrasa, then that's not right. Once I was Mufsab Rahmatullah Alayh, and this type of a discussion was going on. So Al-Musab Rahmatullah also had spent time with Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah. In fact, at that stage, he was also a member of the Shura of the Nizamuddin Markaz. So I asked him about something similar. So he says, اپنے لئے کوئی کام تجویز کرنا اور پھر حق کو اسی کے اندر منحصر سمجھنا یہ بڑی گمراہی کی بات ہے. Approximate words. اپنے لئے کوئی کام تجویز کرنا اور پھر حق کو اسی کے اندر منحصر سمجھنا یہ بڑی گمراہی کی بات ہے. You preferred something for yourself and then you feel that the truth is confined to what you preferred for yourself. This is going astray, gone off. See? So when you're going to be thinking like that now, you may think for a moment, oh, I'm thinking right. But then when you're going to be thinking like that, what's going to happen is you're going to be breaking up from every other Muslim, every other department. If Rasulullah were to know about this, will it please its heart? Or disappoint his heart. You adopted this work for yourself, and then you feel that the truth is just confined to this. Then will it please him, or will it displease him? Number one. Number two, sometimes it may be that I've got a problem now, say, problem related to nikah, talaq, miras, etc. Now, obviously, the Jamaat work doesn't specialize in this. Now, I have considered the truth to be just confined to this. Now, where must I go for guidance there? Because I don't recognize them. When I don't recognize them, I got a problem. When I've got a problem now, where must I look for a solution? Right? The man could be living in haram because he's already divorced. And he can't find a solution within his ranks. And he doesn't recognize and identify others. So what's going to be the end result? Gumrahi. He's going to be going on the wrong path, wrong track completely. And number three, it's a way to sow discord, to divide. Right? Because you're not recognizing, you're not identifying him. Dusro ko apna nahi samajhte. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi, when he heard this type of words, then he was very affected. So he says, the problem with some people is, ye log hame apna nahi samajhte. They don't consider the next movement to be part of us. In any dini effort, there will be different departments. There will be all different departments, and every department is important. Like in an istima, you got someone in the khidmat, right? The khidmat, there will be different levels of khidmat, right? One will be the feeding khidmat. One will be the traffic control khidmat, right? One will be the paramedic khidmat, right? One will be the cleaning up toilet or the kitchen, etc. That, right? One will be the preparation in the kitchen, that khidmat. So many different lines of khidmat. Now, say the people that are in the khidmat to clean the toilets, right? Clean, to see that it's spick and span, clean, right? They thought to themselves, okay, you know, this other people are taking all the sawab, the tashkil jamaat, and the ones that are giving the bayan, they're taking all the sawab, and we are stuck in the toilets. You know, here all the shaitans come, you know, shaitan. Because the toilet is a shaitan place, isn't it? So we're losing out. We're losing out big time. Big way we're losing out. So let's believe that and let's go into that section of the work. What will happen? Will the work continue? Or will there be a collapse? Outwardly, they don't seem like doing Jamaat work. But really, they are cooperating. They're complementing the same work. If it went for them now, people need to go toilet. When they need to go toilet, they don't find a decent toilet. So they get disoriented and say, hey, let's check this, let's go. See? So indirectly, they are cooperating and complementing the same work. All we need to do is have the heart for them in our hearts. Okay? We need this person as well. We need that person as well. We need the third person as well. Every person is important in the work. So in dini work also, every person is important. Now, I don't recognize one person, I only identify with the other person. Now, that's not right. Not right at all. So every person is important. Just that Allah Pak must give us that heart to recognize, identify, respect. We can achieve so much more. We respect that person. Now, for example, I am in the madrasa, right? And I think to myself, you know, that the madrasa, we don't know how to do the tabligh work. Because tabligh work has got some special mannerisms, right? How to meet people, how to talk to them, how to get into them, how to establish a work amongst the people, youngsters, elders. We don't know that. But some of our youngsters that are graduating, they need to know this thing because they're going to move on to their towns. But in the meanwhile, I broke up from them. I thought the madrasa is be all and all. There's nothing but the madrasa. Now, can I benefit from the madrasa, from the jamaat? I can't benefit. But had I established some taluk, some relationship, I identified with them, I recognized the good that they are doing. Now we've got someone graduating. So, and we feel that he's a good candidate, right? And perhaps he needs to go. Now, others maybe naturally, they know how to work amongst people, live amongst people, and interact, they know. And some people don't know it. Now, this person is a good candidate, he wants to do something, and he doesn't know how to do it. So let us send him for 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, whatever the case may be. Right, he goes, he learns, or right, he learns the ropes, how to establish a relationship, how to work in a community, how to relate to the people there. Then the different classes that you have, the youngsters, middle age, old, how do you establish the work amongst them? Then you need to establish work amongst the women, then how do you establish work amongst the women? Then in the young, you'll have two classes. You'll have those that are school-going, matric, or around there, and you'll get the university. So how do you work amongst them? What do you need to know? How do you, which better buttons you press, you know, when you're working with them? Now, this person is going there, so he's establishing the work. See? But now this is provided that person is open in his mind, open in his thinking, his understanding. Then he can do these things. But if he's narrow, tunnel vision, he can't reason, so he's going to break a relationship, and he's not going to work, he's not going to allow himself to progress. There may be one person in the madrasa, he doesn't require this thing so much because his understanding is profound. And the little that he sees in the jamaat, right, activity, 1 day, 2 days, he gets an understanding how to work. He's got the understanding, he sees, he observes, and he can pick up concepts very, very well. So he doesn't need to go for 4 months or 6 months because his understanding is so profound. Right? He can understand the concepts so well. His understanding is so profound, so he doesn't need to go. He'll do the work. And there may be a third class also. Okay, he doesn't feel too comfortable going out in jamaat. So when he's not too comfortable, right, not too comfortable, because perhaps he's not a mixer. Some people are mixers. Naturally, they're mixers, they can socialize. And some people, they can't. And if you're going to force them, then you're going to create problems for him and for others. Why are you going to create problems? Perhaps he can't mix. When he mixes up with people, then there's problems, fights, arguments, misunderstanding. Now, when you forced him, now he went. But then he created the problem for everybody. There were 10 people going in the jamaat temple now. He's created a problem for them. See? So there'll be different categories, different groups. So you need to understand that this person, which category he belongs to. See? That is why the hadith also speaks about the time of fitna. And what is the best thing to do? So one is, he hears the call of jihad going out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, and straight away he responds. He's got his conveyance and he's got all his requirements. The moment he's heard the call that there's a need to go in this direction, then he's going in that direction. And the second person is that person, fi shaghafin min shighafil jibal or something, right? Huh? Shafin. He's somewhere on a mountain, في مواضيع القطر, he can get rain, can carry on his livelihood, got some sheep and all that, and he's isolated himself. So why did the hadith make a provision for this second person? The hadith could have only made provision for the first class. Wherever you heard jihad, just go. That's the only way. But the hadith made a provision for this person. It made a provision for this person as well. Sha'af al-Jibal, right? From a mountaintop, isolated. So, isolated, why? Because يَسُونُ النَّاسَ عَنْ شَرِّهِ. Same one, what I'm saying, the same. Exactly the same. That he knows that if he's going to interact, that he's going to cause problem. Now, you're going to force him to go. But what the hadith is saying, يَسُونُ النَّاسَ عَنْ شَرِّهِ. In other words, he knows that he's going to go inside, he's going to cause problems. So what's the better thing for him now? Then you do your work also. Islam has got a provision for you as well. You're going to go, you're going to cause a problem. So you rather don't go, you do your work. See? Like now you see, when we don't make this type of provision, then we create problems. Right? Or sometimes someone is going out, right? Now, the poor chap, he doesn't know. And he is not mentally prepared to go out. But we bundled him and we sent him. Now, 3/4 of the time he's playing with his phone. Night time he's playing with his phone. He's looking at all different sides. Right? So the chances are that he'll become worse off than he went. When he went, then he was still a little bit alright. Respectful, good manners, etc. Now, we bundle up everybody. We didn't see the background. Nor are we monitoring their progress. Alright, if we send someone, then he was monitor the person. But we're not monitoring, like in the madrasa. He said, hey, come to the madrasa. But now the madrasa people are not monitoring the child's progress. What's going to happen? He'll turn out to be worse off. Because, see, nice holiday. Yeah? He can go to the steers, go around by the beach and all that. And a lot of things, a lot of activities in Spingo. You can go and, so what will happen when there's no monitoring, there's no supervision? What's going to happen? The person will become worse off. So the same will happen elsewhere as well, when that person is not prepared. We're sending him with a lot of encouragement, but there's no monitoring on the person, there's no supervision. So he'll come back, you can see that I spend the time. But any improvement in the person? Okay? Is there any improvement? Now after that, you spend so much of time, after that you ask him, you spend 3 days. You're spending 3 days or 40 days a year, or gush, or ta'aleem in the house, nothing. Now you see what happened. Now. He spent so much, such a big investment, 1 year of his rent, no 3 days, no ta'aleem, no gush, nothing. And he's carrying on his own habits, the same habits of looking all sides and whatever he's doing, watching all these type of things. Now, that is why I say we need to have some understanding in this thing here. Whatever deen you work, all are supposed to be respected. But the responsible brothers must be responsible enough. See, like when we were small, right? 9, 10 years of age, 11 years of age, 1960s, earliest, right? When the Jamaat work started off. So there were small groups that were going. But when they came back, you could see a distinguished change in their lives. Tahajjud, zikr, the kurta, turban, right? And it wasn't just for a few days, that continued with them. All that type of hard life, rugged life, all type of terrain, they could move, they could go. Right? So what must have happened then is these people, they did the work and they were monitored there. Whilst they were overseas also, they were being monitored. They were getting that guidance, that counselling. So whatever good has to be packed in was packed into them. When they came back, then because they were packed right, so they came back and the effect of that goodness continued for a long time. For a long time, a lot of people benefited. So you see them when they came back also, if they're going out again for the 3 days, then you can see their behavior, right? They got a certain pattern, getting up for tahajjud. They got their namaz done, right? They're not talking in the masjid, right? While the azan or while the sunnahs are being read, they're not making mashwaras everywhere, right? they're behaving in the masjid, they got the zikr all, the whole program, ta'lim, etc., everything is taking place like it's supposed to be done, right? So when they're spending the time like this, now it has a good impression on that area. Right? Now, if they're not packed in like that, they're not packed in and they're going out like that, they're going to a different area now, see, the Jamaat came. So one brother is there smoking there. One person is doing something else. One person is playing with his phone. Now, what type of impression it has? See? So this I'm saying, the different responsible people like the Madrasa, Jamaat, everybody has to take some responsibility, but it's our work. When it's our work, then we need to take some responsibility and see that it's going like it's supposed to be going. Otherwise, it's wrong. We're not appreciating work. It's a gift. Any dini work, any dini khidmat is a gift. When it's a gift and we're not taking it as it's supposed to be taken, then aren't we disappreciating? We're disappreciating the thing. So, it's not to run any group, whether it's madrasa. I'm sure it can happen in a madrasa as well. We've got a madrasa, we built up with public funds, we built it up. But we're just running it down. We're not showing responsibility, we're not showing that in the different departments, but it's running well. Children are coming to madrasa, they're messing it up, they're spending the time rightly, they're not spending the time rightly, we're not seeing all this. What's going to happen? It's going to be an erosion, right? The whole thing will be eroded. Finish, khalas. So, in the madrasa also, the same thing can happen. Same thing, exactly the same thing can happen. It happens also, where we become irresponsible or lesser responsible. So we can't expect this whole thing to function. We have to, whatever it causes, we have to be responsible. We have to be on the tail of the child. We can't do it, we have to get someone to do it. But we have to do it. What they're doing in the morning, how they're spending the time, how they're conducting themselves. Are they learning? Aren't they learning? What is the level of the character? What is the level of the ways? In the free time, what are they doing? Where are they running around? So now all that fikr has to be done. If those children were perfect, then their parents wouldn't have sent them in the madrasa. They send them because they needed to be fixed up. Right? Had they been fixed up already, would there be a need for them to be sent? They're not fixed up, so therefore they've been sent here. Right? So anyway, we're talking of Hazmola, Limi Asab Rahmatullah Ali. And I explained that in any dini work, you have a broad vision. That is why the hadith has taught us this dua. وَوَسِّعْلِي خُلُقِي Allah Ta'ala, give me a broad character. You know, my vision, my understanding, my capacity must be broad. So I can take different things, different charisma, capacity must be broad. So I can see this person here also, I can see that person. I can appreciate this person, I can appreciate that person. Right? So what a beautiful feeling we have. There's so much of work happening. Different lines, but they're all together. They're different, but they're together. Isn't it a wonderful feeling for the Muslims, for Islam? There's so many different classes of work. They're different, but yet they're together. So what a beautiful feeling. See? And then, you know, it's like a khubiyo ki len den. Like I said, the madrasa needs the jamaat work, right? So it's khubiyo ki len den. We are taking from them. Then sometimes they need us. They need some counseling, they need some guidance, they need some direction, right? Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the second Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali, he was boarded on a train. And he was passing through Kanpur, where Mufsab Rahmatullah Ali had been teaching for some time. So Mufsab got to know about it, that he's going to come this way. So he came to the station. It was a long halt. See, like the train, sometimes they have a long halt, 15, 20 minutes. So Adaji Mawisur Rahmatullah got to know that Mufsab Rahmatullah is there. So he got off the train to meet him. So he said, achha hai ke tum yahan par khade ho, mere kai masail atke hue the, mere masail ke hal tum bata do. lot of masail I had to ask, and show me the rulings. So Musab explained to him everything. And then he went on to say, Arey Mufti ji, pehle to bare josh ke saath hame jamaat mein nikala. Phir tum baith gaye. With a lot of enthusiasm, you took us out in jamaat. Right? And then you sat down. Musab was humorous in his ways. He said, Mujh jaise log, kuch logo ko vaise bhi chhod do. Varna, tumhare masail ke hal kaun karega? Leave some people like this as well. If you don't leave these people, then who's going to find solutions to your masalas? And he says that, bare josh ke saath, hame khada kar diya. Then Hazrat Muhammad wasn't so inclined towards Jamaat first. Now, Ilyas Rahmat was concerned that Hazrat Muhammad is not so interested in Jamaat. More in Ta'aleem and all that, writing Kitab, Ma'ani al-Ahbar, all that. He was more interested in all that. But you want him to be linked up. But as a father and a son relationship, now Ilyas Rahmat is, one is, he's too busy. He's too busy, right? Then he can't speak to his son so freely. See? Because, when you're talking, when you're discussing, so the father can say, Main ye kehta hun. I am saying this. So you can't challenge your father. It's difficult. When a person is overawed with respect, he can't say, but I am saying this. That will amount to disrespect, right? But then, he's not free to discuss. He's feeling that I am constrained. I feel that I can counter his argument. But now my father always said, I say this. So can you now then challenge him? You can't challenge him. Because he's your father. You need to challenge the masala, but he's your father. But if it's another person, then he can speak freely. So Musa was slightly elder than them. And he could speak to them. He taught them in Sahanpur as well. And he could speak to them a little bit freely. So Musa opened their minds. See, the real thing in Jamaat is to open the mind. Once your mind is open, then you want to go in it. Otherwise, you're doing it just because you are told to do it. Or just because you inherited it. Bhaipadia's grandson, so I must do it. So not that your mind is open and you want to do it, you have to do it. No, just because it's an inherited thing, so I have to do it. So inheritance is something else. Right? And I need to do it because it's important. I need to do it. It's something else. So Musa Ahmad opened their mind, and eventually he got into it. The same happened to Mawla Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi. Mawla Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi used to come. He was from Mahalla Afghan. Mahalla Afghan is near Sahanpur. It's in Sahanpur, one small Mahalla there. So he was in the university at the time, about 23, 25 years of age. And he used to come and visit Musa Ahmad on a Friday. A lot of people used to come over the villages, town and all that. On a Friday, they were the masail, they come and ask, see. That once I was explaining, that people used to come there and ask the masail. So just digressing a little bit, so one person came to ask for masala to Musa Rahmatullahi. Why are the ulama doing haram? Why are the ulama indulging haram? So Musa said, what haram they're getting involved in? They're eating pan. Eating the pan is haram. See? So where you got it from? So I got it from Best Is Ever. So right, you'll come next week, show me where it is in Best Is Ever. I didn't see it. Right? I didn't see that section. You saw it, so you must show me the section where it's written that it is haram. So the next week he came, Friday they would meet after Jummah namaz. So it was written there, Aurat ko iddat ke andar paan karna aur muh ko surh karna haram hai, right? And for a woman, when she's in the iddat, to eat paan and redden herself, her mouth, like how you got lipstick and all that, is not permissible. So sab bole, bhai, tumne tamam ulama-e-kiram ko iddat mein bitha diya kya? All the ulama-i-kiram put them on iddat. So he didn't understand it correctly. He felt now the eating of pan was impermissible. So he had to explain that to him. So Mawla Sayyid Khan Sahib used to also come to Mustafa Rahmatullahi on a Friday. So Mustafa says that one day he came, yahi atak gaya, then he got just stuck here. Mustafa gave some explanations or whatever, and it just took to his heart. When it just took to his heart, he got stuck here, you see. Now the ulama are linking up with the jamaat. Now that person was suitable for the jamaat, he became an alim and he's in the jamaat. See now the link, the interaction. The interaction, how beautiful it is and how beautiful it sounds. Jamaat people are coming here and we are going to the jamaat. Right? The khanqa people are coming to the jamaat, or the jamaat people are going to the khanqa. How beautiful it sounds. It sounds like we all want the same, just that we've got different departments and different areas to work, and we're concentrating in the areas that we need to concentrate. Let's carry on. But isn't that feeling great? So beautiful, understanding, respect, appreciation. We can, like I say, khubiyo ki lendin. We are enjoying, we are enjoying. That is Islam, right? I say it many a times. Enjoy and let enjoy. Live and let live. Now, you say, no, life is only for me. Enjoyment is only for me. That's a capitalist view of thinking. Enjoyment, wealth, only for me. If there's any surplus, then you throw it in the sea. Then. Any surplus, tomatoes, butter, milk, or throw it, dump it. That's a capitalist way to maintain the price. Right? So anyway, this Limia story is getting pushed aside, right? So Limia Sahib Rahmatullahi had to give the talk after Isha. So Limia Sahib Rahmatullahi says that the Sheikh asked me to give the talk, that I've been thinking the night, you know, what must I say? I say you must keep fast, that everybody is keeping fast here. Yeah? Everybody is keeping the roza. If I say that Sri Quran Sharif, they're reading Quran Sharif here. Yeah? Make zikr, then they are doing zikr here. Then what must I speak about? Then I'm thinking now, you know, something that's going to be beneficial to me and beneficial to the audience, the people that have gathered, everybody must benefit. So what must I think, what must I talk about? We don't just talk because we need to talk. Sometimes it happens, just because I need to talk. So, aisi lantarani sunate, khud nahi samajhte, na koi samajhta hai. You start talking, some people just have that. Verbal diarrhea. Sorry, verbal diarrhea. They just want to carry on talking. So anyway, well, Amir Sabrahmi says, see, I had been thinking about the whole setup here. And Hazrat Sheikh Hamdai's instructions. So I reflected over his instructions. He says, Jitna chahe khao. As much as you want, you can eat. Jitna chahe so. As much as you want, you can sleep. Magar bolo mat, but don't talk. When there's a need, you talk, but not beyond need. Just within the need you will talk. Otherwise, you want to eat, you can eat as much as you want. You can sleep as much as you want. But talking, then just do to the point of need. Don't do it, don't go beyond the point of need. So then my mind went on to this. I'm thinking, now why did Sheikh Hamdai say this? That you can eat as much as you want, and you can sleep as much as you want, but you mustn't speak. Because he caught the thief in us. He felt the rug. He's got this finger on the pulse. He understands us. Because you're going to eat, you can only eat a certain amount, right? After that, you're going to eat more than that, you'll feel bilious, right? Like now, as we sitting here, you can still feel the feeling of Seri, isn't it? That means there's the overfill. We're not yet hungry. Now, if that time you're going to eat, was zapta puri ke liye, what? Because it's a routine to eat at that time, we'll eat then. But do we genuinely need to eat at that time? Because we can still feel the feeling of Seri now, right? Honestly, don't you feel the food of Seri up till now? Still feel it. So you must zapta puri karna hai. This is the reason why there is, you know, the health is going down. Because we're eating this as per routine, not as per need. Anyway, it's a topic, different topic all. So, you're going to eat, you'll just eat a certain amount. And beyond that, you'll feel start being bilious, start throwing up. You don't want to eat more than that. Right? And then if you sleep also, how much are you going to sleep? Sleep after that, the bed gets tired of you, you get tired of the bed, right? You get up now, too much, right? You get tired or the bed gets tired, right? Especially in these winter's long nights, right? But this talking machine, that thing never gets tired. Stomach gets tired, right? Your eyes get tired of sleep. But as far as this gab, this tongue, you know, it doesn't get tired. You talk, carry on talking. So now you have to pass the time in Rosa, easy, just get 3-4 friends. And just talk. Before you know it, it's already 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, time is over, right? So he's got his finger on the pulse. He knows where we're going off. He says that you can sleep as much as you want and eat as much as you want, but talking is restricted to the point of need. Don't go beyond the point of need. Right? And the tongue is such that you carry on talking. You don't get tired. Tongue is so strong. Allah created the tongue so strong. Don't hear Imam Sahib Rahmatullahi completing 2 Quran Sharif. So the work of the tongue, isn't it? A lot of Buzurgan Adin, 1 Quran Sharif, 2 Quran Sharif, the work of the tongue. Right. So the tongue is so strong. It can take on so much. Right. And it can still do more than 2 also it can do. So that thing doesn't get tired. But provided then we use it in the right direction, we direct it rightly. It's so strong. But it's beneficial, it's good when we're going to be using it for the right. It's your choice afterwards. The option is yours, it's your call. Whichever direction you want to take it in, whichever way you want to steer it, this way or that way, that's your choice, it's your call. Right? But it's got the might, it's so dynamic, it can do so much. So this article that has been read is about the safeguarding of the tongue. And it's so important to safeguard the tongue. Right? We hear the famous hadith, when you get up in the morning, then the entire body pleads to the tongue. But you go straight, we will be straight. And you go crooked, we will catch it. Right? The misdemeanor is of the tongue, right? Who caused the problem? The tongue caused the problem, right? But because of the wrong of the tongue, the whole body catches it. The tongue is still safe. Sure, the tongue is such a strange thing. It does all the wrong, right? But you don't get the tongue getting lashed. Tongue doesn't get lashed. Who gets lashed? The entire body gets lashed. That thing is like today's people, you know? Like if someone is arguing, so they want to incite one against the other, right? Yeah, he caused it, yeah, you need to put him in his place. Right? When they spurred you up, so you went and fought. So now what are they doing now? The spectator, they're watching what's happening. So the tongue is like that. Tongue will incite, and it'll cause the damage. And then when you're catching it, or you're giving it, now the tongue is watching what's happening. So it's too like today's people, you know, they like to see the trouble. But they want to be safe. So the tongue also likes to see trouble, but the tongue will be absolutely safe. It's got its fortress, round its fortress, it's quite safe. No problem it's got. So the hadith is saying it so aptly. You be straight, say the tongue. You be straight, we all be safe. But the moment you go off, you're all going to catch it. See how important the tongue. Allah Baktofiq is.